I just want you to be to remember this week in prayer. Pray that it goes fast, because the television in front of you was the preacher's idea to place on top of two tables put together. All right, and we had Gorilla Tape, Gorilla Glue, and we're right there. Just pray it goes by quick. All right, so we can get that thing back down, and I don't have to pay for that. But so y'all came in here, and the things were all decorated, right? I mean, if you've been in the church, you see that there are pews now in the church, not put together, but the pieces, and there's carpet and flooring down, and you see that things are cleaned, and you come in here each week, and things look good. Let me just tell you, and then you come, and you get me to look at. All right, you're kind of in rough shape, but let me just take a minute to show our appreciation to the people who have helped in the remodeling process, the people who have helped clean each week, prepare communion, prepare worship, the people who come over to decorate, the leaders that we have and the teachers that we have teaching our youth right now, the people who are going to be volunteering their time over the next week to teach and to invest in kids. Can we just give a round of applause for everyone else here? Because as Adam Hector would say, they're like pinky toes, and you don't realize how important they are until you lose them, right? As long as they don't look like mine, you're in okay shape. But I'm just thankful for all of you and for all that you do, and if it wasn't for all of you, then nothing here and none of this would be possible. And I truly appreciate all that you do as our communion men serve each week and just faithfully serve this church. This morning, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2. And I want to go back to the garden. Genesis chapter 2 is where I want to start today. And I want to remind you, if you were here last week or if you weren't here, we discussed a little bit about rest. And we discussed how rest was found in the garden as God created the garden and he created the trees that were pleasant to the sight and that they were good for food. So God supplied their need by providing trees to eat off of. And if we were to be honest, we would say that God has provided every need, has he not? I mean, God has supplied my need. And then here's the cool part that we discussed last week. They had trees there that were also pleasant for the sight, that God had blessed them beyond their need. And because of his love and his mercy and his grace, he had given them something that they didn't need to have, but he gave it to them because of his love and his mercy and grace poured out upon them. And if we were honest, we would say that in our life and today and last month, but over the course of our life, God has supplied us beyond our need. I mean, is anyone else honest enough to say, yeah, God has surpassed my need. He has blessed me with trees that were good for food. And we discussed rest and how rest was only true rest when it was founded in who Jesus was and who God is in the garden of Genesis 1 and 2, but how God gives us rest by the creation around us and the needs that he meets and the supply that he gives. And what true rest comes from is understanding that we are not God. We can never be God. We can never take over the responsibility of God in our lives, that only God reigns. And we discuss that when life is raining down on us and it's pouring and raining, that God still reigns. And I said last week that when life feels like it's falling apart, God's hand's the one that pieces it all back together. And true rest is found in who he is and what he's done for us. And I could have preached this morning on Genesis chapter 2:15, but if you were here on Father's Day and awake, you remember that I preached that text on Father's Day, that you and I are placed in gardens of our life, whether it's marriage or parenting, our workplace, our community, our church. We are placed in these gardens to work them and keep them as God commands us to. And this morning, I want to go down to verse 16. And last week was rest, and we're going to skip responsibility because I've already done that. And this week, I want to talk about this element of our being that's important for us to grow closer to Jesus, to be more Christ-like, to follow him on a daily basis. And this topic or this key element of our very being is the word restraint. And we find it right here in the garden in Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" So he's saying, here's this garden I've blessed you with, and it's beautiful, and there's apple trees. If you don't like apple, there's pear trees, you know. And if you don't like any fruit, then there's just pretty trees to look at. And I mean, you can eat the bark even, and everything's beautiful. And here it is for you. I've created it for you, and you have all of this freedom to roam this garden in need of anything that you want. Have you ever been to Eckert's, and you just pick everything off every tree you can imagine, like, have you ever done that? I just run around and pick everything that I can. And I've only been a few times, but I remember as a teenager, I was picking them. And sometimes you'd even throw them at people, you know, and you would just pick them. And he's saying, you can do that. If you want, then do that to Eve even. But he's saying, this is where you have to roam around and to enjoy my beauty and enjoy my perfection and my glory. But there is one tree. There's that one tree. And what's kind of neat about this is that God first gives permission, okay? He first gives permission to go and to eat of every tree, and then he secondly gives restriction. And we are to demonstrate restraint or biblical boundaries or biblical restriction in our life if we are to strive to grow Christ-like. You know, we could talk all morning, and we kind of discussed it this morning earlier, about why the tree's there. Why is the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden that's supposed to be perfect? And is it a temptation? And I don't think it's a temptation. I think it's a teaching of restraint. And how we as Christians, we as Christ followers, must demonstrate a little bit of restrictions in our life. We must build some kind of biblical boundaries around areas of our life in order to grow closer to Him, in order to be more Christ-like, in order to live for Him and to receive His glory and His riches. And the reason I say that is because Jesus told us that we were to be what of the world? Lights of the world. He didn't say you should just live however you want and continue to live in the darkness of the world, but you should be lights. We should stand out. We should kind of set boundaries with some people. I remember when Michaela and I first got married, I had to set boundaries and I lost friendships because I knew if I didn't, I would lose my marriage. I had to build boundaries around my life, around certain people, and my best friends at the time became business acquaintances. Because I knew if I kind of lived how I was, if I kind of did the same things and lived the same lifestyles and hung around the same people, that my marriage would be broken and that it would be a disaster and that she would divorce me. And as ugly as I am, I'd never find another wife. That's what I thought. I mean, that's what ran through my head. I've got to keep this one. You know, I've got to chain this one up, right? This for the long haul. Now you're stuck with me. So I wanted to stay that way, and I had to build boundaries, and I had to kind of shut some people out in certain areas of my life. Some of the lifestyles, my Fridays and Saturday nights were spent a little bit differently after I got married, because I knew if they weren't spent differently, then my marriage would fall apart, because I wanted to protect what God had given me and had to build boundaries around things God said no to. So in order for us to live more Christ-like and to follow Him on a daily basis and to grow in Him in constant pursuit of Him, sometimes we have to build biblical boundaries. Sometimes we have to put the walls up around areas, around aspects of life, around certain people, and sometimes we have to focus on what He's given to us, and we have to kind of turn away from or tune out or build boundaries around what we're told no to. We know the story. We know the story because here we are living in the sinful world. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we see that they eat of the fruit. Here they are. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was able to be desired to make one wife, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So here they are, they're told not to eat of this tree, and over time Satan twists the words and tempts her, and this is what she knows, is that this tree was beautiful, and that this tree had food, and that this tree would make her wise, and Satan said, if you eat of it, you'll be like God. That's what he doesn't want you to know. He's keeping something from you, and he twisted the words, and she believed him, and she gave in, and she wasn't able to restrain or build a restriction around this wall or this tree. So she eats it, and then they're in the garden, and they're naked, and they build loincloths. They make loincloths, and they're guilty. And the reason I know they find themselves guilty is because they find themselves hiding in the bushes. And what I want you to know today is this. there are beautiful things in this life, and there are beautiful people in this life, and all they're going to lead you to is hiding in the bushes and eating off trees that are destructive. Some of the things that we feel that are beautiful and that provide joy and happiness and make life great and you know, make us approved by many and you know, loved by many, we'll find that those very trees that are beautiful are destructive and distracting us from God's destiny for us. So the reality is that you and I must build walls around certain areas of our life and certain areas of our marriage, and we must have restrictions. And God was trying to teach them restraint, not tempt them to sin, because I don't believe that my God would put sin in front of someone that nailed Jesus to the cross for. I don't think that he would place sin in front of you to tempt you to fail in that sin, the very sin that Jesus came to die for. So here we are in the garden, one chapter later, and they eat of it. And here they are saying, oh, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be intelligent. I'm going to know good from evil. I'm going to know all these things. And what they did is they allowed the temptation to overcome, and they were not able to restrict or restrain from this temptation. Has anyone ever read those four letters, WWJD? Anybody ever seen those? They're real popular when I was growing up. Everybody had them on bracelets, on t-shirts, on their phones. They had them as their screensaver. What would Jesus do? And as a kid, I never wanted to be a Christian because the Christian kids were always weird. That's what I thought. Because they never had any fun. And I was like, I don't want to do that because I won't ever get to do anything but go to church and read my Bible. I want to hang out with my buddies and have fun. And the more I realized that God grants freedom before restriction. And that you and I are free to live in this life within restriction. And here we are with this WWJD, and I would always wonder, well, what would Jesus do when this pretty girl asked for my number? You know, because the church tells me I shouldn't give it to her, but she's really pretty, and she must think I am, or maybe she was looking at my friend beside me, but I'm going to get this number, and I'm going to follow her, and I'm going to text her, and at the time, we had MSN. Does anybody remember MSN? Messenger? Yeah, that was what we did. You know, all weekend, I was on MSN. Who was writing me back? And I just remember when I look back, there were certain things that I should have built walls around as a teenager even. And I should have asked myself in certain situations, and some of us need to ask ourselves in big decisions, what would Jesus do with this decision? How would Jesus respond to this circumstance? What would Jesus do in this trial or in the face of this news or with these people? How do I glorify him? Because here we are in this world walking 50, 60, 80, 100 years, and our main purpose is to glorify God above all things, not seek the approval of other people. Your main purpose is to glorify God above all things, not seek the approval of other people. So, what would Jesus do? I remember growing up as a rebellious 16, 17-year-old, my stepfather would give me this, WWMLD. And that stands for, what would Mama Linda do? And my grandmother was one of the sweetest, softest-spoken, Christ-loving, Christ-fearing women I've ever met. And he would tell me, hey, When you're out with your friends, just ask yourself, what would Mama Linda do? And sometimes I would ask myself, but it was after the fact. And I would feel so guilty, and I would think, oh boy, she wouldn't have done that. Or she wouldn't have acted like that. Or she wouldn't have drove like that. Or she wouldn't have been with those people. And I just remember growing up, I had to ask myself sometimes, what would my Mama Linda do? And here I am at 25, and I still call her Mama Linda, because that's what I grew up calling her. And sometimes I have to ask myself, even to this day, what would she do? What would Jesus do? And as the Bible is clear in Genesis chapter 2, as I read it earlier, he says, for the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. The day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And this is what the Bible is clear on. The Bible is clear that disobedience and self-righteousness and seeking self-pleasure and living for self ultimately leads to death. And by obeying God's word, following his word, listening to his command, reading his word, and growing in his promise and being under the blood of Jesus, we realize that obedience leads to life. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. And this is what he said as he's finishing his Sermon on the Mount. He says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." So he's saying, enter by the narrow gate. And he goes on to say, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those are who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." You know, as a young Christian, and I'm still, I think, very young in faith, but as an early 20-year-old, 21, 22-year-old, I always despised being a Christian at times because I thought, boy, everyone else is just having so much more fun than me. Here I am, and they're able to do what they want, say what they want, think what they want, carry it out, and here I am. And I said, man, this isn't fair. I thought Jesus loved me. I thought he would give me a happier life. I thought he would give me more joy than everyone around us, and I was seeking joy in the very darkness that Jesus called sin. So I had none because I was supposed to be a light of the world, not live in the darkness. And this is what I want to remind you with this morning, that restraint, submission to restraint, only comes in steps of repentance. Because God knew back when he said that in Genesis 2 that there would be generation after generation after generation turn to disobedience, turn to idolatry, and that they would live in sin. And then after they hit a certain point, they would call upon his name for deliverance, and he would deliver them from bondage and captivity. Jesus and God knew when he said that to Adam in the garden that the very people Jesus came to die for would be the one to nail him on the cross. And God knew back in the garden when he promised, hey, this is what you should do, this is where you cannot eat. He knew that on what is today, July 16th, 2017, that you all would be in this church. And he knew that whatever's happened to you would happen. And he knew that some of us would fall short because the Bible is clear that we all fall short of the glory of God. And we are also clear, the Bible is also clear in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. The wages of living in disobedience and rejecting God's word and just kind of forgetting what he's ordered us to do and how to live, it ultimately leads to death. And disobedience leads to death, and obedience and following him leads to life. And when I read this, I kind of thought back to what would my mama Linda do? You know, would she enter by the narrow gate, or would she enter by the narrow or the wide gate? And what I realized is she would enter by the narrow gate. And some of us sometimes want to enter by the wide gate, because if we're seeking the approval of others, what we'll notice is that we'll continue to walk by the narrow gate, and there will be a lot of people around us. There'll be a lot of people around us leading us to eat off the wrong trees. And as we walk through this life by the narrow gate, seeking the approval of others, living in sin, and how I can please myself, and what brings joy to me, and what the world wants me to do, by the wide gate, there's a lot of people. But if I live by the narrow gate and walk the narrow path, constantly pursuing Jesus over all things, it is hard. Has anyone here, by the raise of hands, ever lost friendships because of the name of Jesus? You ever lost people that have turned their back on you because of the name of Jesus? Isn't that hard? I mean, at times it's hard. Sometimes you're like, thank God. Like, they needed to go anyway. But thank God. But sometimes it's difficult because these people will reject you because you don't fit in, or you're not with them, or you don't do the same things, or you don't eat off the same trees in reference to the garden. And it's hard. It was hard to tell my best friends that, man, we just can't hang out anymore because I love my wife more than I love you. And I love seeing my wife more than I love seeing your bald head all the time. It was hard to make decisions to leave lifestyles that I enjoyed so much. It was hard to turn away from people who had constantly walked beside me and then helped me hide in the bushes in reference to the garden. There's a lot of people that will help you hide in the garden, but there's very few people that will help you along the path of the narrow gate. So we have to decide. You know, here's what my three-year-old does. My three-year-old's wired to play outside, to run outside, to be in the garden, to go to Six Flags, the zoo. She just loves being outside. I'm thankful for that because she's not attached to a television, and she could care less if she watches TV or does that, but she loves to just go outside, and she loves to get wet in the water and nasty and sweaty and She loves bug bites, and I mean, she's just crazy. And this same three-year-old loves to run outside here, and she also loves to run when she gets out of the vehicle in a parking lot. And there are some times where I have to grab her and say, no, don't run in the parking lot, because if you do, someone in vehicle or by foot will run over you. I have to tell her that if you don't watch out, you're going to get hit and you're going to get hurt. So I have to hold her back. I have to pull her back, and I have to tell her no. And my one-year-old is from a different side of humanity. And I'm not quite sure who her dad is, because they ain't like me. I'm just kidding. Don't be spreading that around, all right? Don't spread that. But my one-year-old is the kind of kid that knows exactly what she shouldn't be doing and runs right to it. But she's not like some kids. She won't do it until you see her. And this is what I mean by example here. She loves to run to the outlets. And we have outlet covers everywhere. And sometimes we'll pull the outlet cover off, we'll plug our phone in, or plug the hairdryer in, or plug the computer in, or plug something in. And when we pull it out, we sometimes forget to put the outlet cover back on. And I don't know if my one-year-old has a sensor in her mind that guides her to these outlets without covers. But what she does is she runs to them, and she just stands there, not doing anything until mommy or daddy say, Adeline Rose, get away from that outlet. And then she laughs. And then either tongue, finger, or object in hand goes into the outlet. And she just stands there and laughs the entire time. So I come over there and force, you know, kind of grab her with a lot of force, maybe more than I should use. And I pull her away from there and I tell her, no, you can't do that because if you do it, it'll hurt you. No, you can't put your tongue in the outlet. No, you can't take the object. No, just no. You can't do it. And I realize this, that sometimes we are just like that. We're surrounded by many people that lead us right to the outlets and want to run in traffic with us. They want to lead us to the trees to eat that are self-destructive. They want to walk down the by the wide gate and lead us to destruction. And because they could care less, because they continue to live in the darkness and the brokenness of this world. But you and I are to be different. You and I are to say, no, I shouldn't be sticking my tongue in the outlet. No, I shouldn't be doing this with this person. No, I'm not going to do it. And if you go back to the Genesis chapter 2, God says, you can eat of every tree but this. Okay, so he gives them a choice. He says, you can eat of every tree but this one. And Adam and Eve ultimately made the choice to eat from it, and then sin came about, and then now we are here in 2017 living in a broken, fallen world because of one choice. You know, and as we wake up each and every day, I have the choice and to love my wife or to leave out the front door. Every day I have the choice. If I wanted to, I could just go. I know I shouldn't. I know I have to restrain sometimes whenever the laundry is not folded correctly. But I have to stay there because that's what God's commanded me to do. He's commanded me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and to give myself up for her. I fell at it a lot. But I have the choice to love my wife and come home on Tuesday nights or be running around town with other people. I have the choice. I have the choice to love and to lead and to teach my kids, or I have the choice to neglect them and say, oh, don't worry about it. You'll find out one day. I have the choice to hold them and to love them whenever they're upset and when they're hurting, or I say, suck it up, because that's what they told me as a kid. I have the choice to come and to preach every Sunday, or I could just sleep in and hide and get real scared because you all are intimidating. Not really, you're not intimidating. But I have the choice to come. I mean, I know it's kind of my job, you know, and that's my job description is to be here on Sunday morning, but ultimately I have the choice. And I have the choice to make when it comes to following Jesus or seeking self-pleasure. I have the choice to walk the path traveled by few or to join everyone else on the one traveled by many. I have the choice to build boundaries in my life that are Christ-minded and Christ-glorifying. Or I have the choice to please myself and everyone around me. Here's what I noticed. Whenever I was trying to please everyone else, I gained a lot of people. But when I was seeking myself in the name of Jesus, I lost a lot of people. I have the choice to continue on this path that I've traveled for the last few years or to just turn around. And you have the choice. And we have this ultimate choice of life or death. Obedience or disobedience. Christ glorifying or happiness in a moment. God pleasing or self-pleasure. Happiness in a moment or joy for eternity. We have the choice. And the choice is ultimately ours. And I want to end with this passage and this illustration. If you have your Bible, or if you want to look on the screen, you can go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And this is what the Bible says. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, some translations, be my disciple, desire to be my disciple, desire to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now I want you to understand what the cross represented in that time versus what it represents now. The cross, Jesus hadn't died yet, and the cross was only given to the worst of the worst criminals in a crucifixion-type death and to the worst people around. And today we find victory in the cross. We have hope in the cross of Jesus. We love the cross, but the people there probably frown like, why would I want to do that? They didn't quite understand what he was saying unless they really constantly followed him and pursued him. And he's saying, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would want to enter the narrow gate, if anyone would want to be my disciple and glorify me, if they want to love me and know who I am and what I have, this is what they need to do. They need to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So in order for us to build walls and restrictions in our life and build biblical boundaries around things and people, it's a matter of picking up our cross. And what this ultimately means is to deny himself and take up his cross is to put to death what I want. Put to death what my flesh desires, what my flesh longs for, what I seek, how many friends I have, or how many people are turning their back. This is what it means to put death to self, put death to self, and come after me. So what I did is I brought a cross. And this I've had for a few years now, and I was supposed to dig it into the ground, but it's just kind of set around because I don't have a big enough hammer to pound it down. All right. Maybe I'm just not strong enough to do it. But this has been sitting on my porch in like four different homes because we move so often. And this is a cross that I bought in Moberly, Missouri, and I've just had it. And this is what I want you to picture. I want you to picture a cross like so. And I want you to picture what Jesus is saying. He's saying if you pick up your cross, if you take your cross up daily in the spiritual side and follow me, then you would be coming after me. You would know me. You would be my disciple. You would know who I am and what I am and what I give and what I have for you and what's in store for me and for you. But it comes to taking up our cross. Taking up our cross. You know, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, you better take up your cross if you want to know me. Even though you may lose friends, even though you may lose people around you, even though people may turn their back on you, even though it may get heavy, if you pick up your cross and come after me, you will know who I am. And notice what my hands are doing whenever I take up my cross. What are my hands doing? Holding my cross. That was good. That was deep. But my hands are holding my cross. So what this could represent is the more that I pick up my cross and the more that I carry my cross, my hands are filled. Therefore, my hands can't keep reaching at the trees that I shouldn't be eating from. Because if I'm carrying my cross, I can't be carrying the fruit that I shouldn't be eating. If my hands are carrying my cross and I'm following him, I don't care who's around me. I don't care if people have turned their back on me. I don't care if people don't receive who I am or don't accept me for who I am, because all I'm doing is picking up my cross and following him on a daily. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. It might get hard. The storms may be heavy. The rain may be pouring down, but come after me. And when you come after me, when you pick up your cross, when you travel the path that is narrow, there will be people to guide you and to lift you up and to help you carry that thing. But you better start picking it up. You better start picking it up, because if you don't pick it up your cross daily and follow me, if you don't enter by the narrow gate, you will lead by the wide gate, and the wide gate leads to destruction. Eternal condemnation and ultimately death. And the cross was given to us for victory. And in this passage, we could take this, that I will never find victory in the cross of Jesus Christ if I don't ever pick up mine. If I don't ever pick up my cross and deny myself, I will never find victory in the cross of Jesus. Because here I am supposed to pick it up daily and follow him. And when my hands are filled with this, I don't have empty hands to carry the fruit or the sin or the greed or the addictions or the idolatry or the adultery from the trees that I shouldn't be eating from. So the only question I have for you is this. What are you carrying? What today are you carrying? The cross or the fruit of trees that you shouldn't be eating from? The self-pleasure or pleasing him? Disobedience or obedience? What are you carrying? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for who you are and what you do for us. I thank you for giving us your word to convict us, and it's up to us to change our hearts and to change our lives and to follow you, or ultimately we have the choice to continue to live in whatever we want and do whatever we want with whoever we want. But until change happens in our hearts, it can never be carried out into our lives. And unless we follow the guidance and conviction and the encouragement and the love and the mercy and the grace by your Holy Spirit, we will never pick up this cross to follow you daily. So I pray, God, that we are a group of people that may recognize things in our lives that may be difficult, but we need to build boundaries around to protect ourselves and our soul, to protect our marriages, to protect our children, to protect our families. What is it, God, that you want us to build boundaries around? And what is it in our lives that we need to stop eating from? And how can we start picking up our cross on the daily to follow you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we worship,